Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Hey, here at North Point in 2023, we have said this is our year of legacy. That's right, it is our year of legacy. And our motto this year is live the legacy that you want to leave. Live the legacy that you want to leave. Understanding that we are all going to leave a legacy. Why? Because we're all going to leave a story. And that's what your legacy is. Your legacy is simply the story that people tell about the person that you were and the difference that you made in their lives and in the world. And today, the way that you are living is going to determine what you will be leaving. And so in this year of legacy, we want to bring the intentionality into the decisions that we are making every single day. And right now we are in a series of messages entitled Full Strength. And I just want to remind you that when we talk about full strength, we are talking about being strong in every area of life. This is holistic. This is not a message about how just to be spiritually strong, because I don't believe that God wants you to be just spiritually strong. He wants you to live at full strength. He wants you to be mentally strong. He wants you to be emotionally strong. He wants you to be relationally strong. He wants you to be physically strong, financially strong. In every area of your life, God wants us to live at full strength. God did not get us together so we could just have good Sunday morning services and good prayer meetings. God is bringing us together so that we can learn how to live out this gospel message, this Christ-centered life, every single day. And just to remind us what Jesus told us we could have in John chapter 10, verse 10, when he said, "I came that they might have life, that they might have it to the full in abundance until it overflows." This is the life that Jesus came for us to have, but we can't walk into that life if we're just spiritually strong. Because life is so much more than just what happens in your spirit. So you gotta make sure if you're going to experience this full overflow that Jesus says we could have, we have to understand that this is a holistic strength. It is a full strength. So let's go into Ephesians chapter 6. If you turn me down just a little bit, I'm a little bit loud. Turn me down just a touch. Ephesians chapter 6, I'll be reading from the Message translation. This is our scripture for the series. It says this, and that about wraps it up. God is strong and he wants you strong. Come on, turn to your neighbor right now. Say, God wants you strong. Come on, let them know. God wants you strong. God is strong and he wants you strong. So take everything the master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so that you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. If you weren't here last week, we talked about the six sneaky schemes, right, of the enemy. And if you were not here, you can go back and listen to it. But the devil is throwing some things your way. He says this is no weekend war that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. And we said this is a great place to put your amen. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Destiny kicked off this series several weeks ago, and she gave us a couple questions that we're going to be looking at as we make our way through this series. Two questions, and the first is this, is what does it look like for you to live at full strength? And the second question is, what does it look like for our community to live at full strength? What does it look like for you to live at full strength, personally, individually? And then what does it look like for us as a community? What does it look like for us collectively and corporately to be living at full strength? And here's the reason why we have to answer those two questions, because full strength doesn't just happen. You will never accidentally end up at full strength. It's never just going to happen that way. You're never just going to wake up one day on accident and be like, wow, I can't believe my finances are in order. I'm physically healthy. I'm mentally strong. Wow, this is amazing. It does not work that way. The only way you get to full strength is whenever you are intentional about living there.
Yeah, so good.
So that's why we have to ask the question, what does it look like? What does it look like? And the scripture says there, God is strong and he wants you strong. God is strong and he wants you strong. And this week, I'm going to kind of be building a bridge between these two questions. Over the last few weeks, I've just been answering that first question. What does it look like for you to live at full strength? And we'll start there today, but we'll kind of build a bridge over to what does it look like for us as a community to live at full strength? And then next Sunday, Destiny will wrap up the series talking about what does it look like for us as a community to live at full strength? But today, I want to remind you about what is in the middle of community. What is in the middle of community? If you just look at the word up there, what's in the middle of community? You. You are in the middle of community. And I love the quote that says this, there is no I in team, but there is a me. There is no I in team, but there is a me. You see, we can never be as strong as we can be if I am not working to be the strongest me that I can be.
Oh, come on.
We will never be as strong as we can be as a community if I am not working to be the strongest me that I can be, because it starts with me and it affects the we. And I am always looking, as a part of a community, I am always looking to add my strength to the community. And this is where we can get confused, because we think, oh, well, I can't be a part of that community because everybody there has their lives all, you know, together, and everybody has everything figured out and they've got all their stuff all worked out and ironed out, and I can't be a part of that community. So we sit on the sideline and we think that the people in the church know what they're doing. Well, guess what? We don't know what we're doing. Okay. All right. Just to know that. Okay. And so here's what we do. We feel like, oh, I can't do that because I feel like I've got to add my perfection to the community. No. We don't need your perfection in the community, because you don't have to be perfect to be productive.
Oh, come on.
Okay, but what we do need is your strength.
Right.
And you have strength to bring to the community. You have some gifts and talents to bring to the community. You have something to bring. So don't shy away because you're like, oh, but I'm not perfect enough. Okay, we are not perfect. But if we will all bring our strength to the table, then we can be strong as a community together. I don't have to be perfect to be productive, but here's what I do have to be. I do have to be in the process to progress. I have to be in the process to progress. Now, that phrase right there, the process to progress, that is our kind of working definition for discipleship here at North Point. We say it's our simple definition for what is discipleship. Discipleship is our process to progress. And I gave you this little thing a couple weeks ago, but I have since upgraded it because Destiny pointed something out to me, and she said there's something missing from that. And so I added there, if you were here a few weeks ago, I talked about desire, decide, design, and then deliver. But here's what we did. We added develop. Because there's an element of the process, right,
yeah,
that needs to be practiced. There's an element of the process that needs to be tweaked. There's an element of the whole process that we need to keep on reforming and resetting and renewing as we go. And so I put the definition, you go in and put all the definitions up there, because I recognized not in the 9:30, but in 11:15, 2 weeks ago, that we didn't have these definitions. I thought they were up there in the 9:30, and then I turned around in 11:15, and they weren't there, and then I forgot to give the slide. And so that was my fault. So I wanted to give you the definition, because this is what it looks like in the discipleship journey. This is what your process to progress will always look like, no matter what you are trying to accomplish, and no matter what you are trying to become, and no matter what you are trying to achieve. This is always the process. The first thing, there's got to be a desire. A strong want or wish for something. You will never follow Jesus until you first have a strong wish and want to follow Jesus. I've got to have a wish and a want to become like him. That's where it starts. It starts as a desire, but it can't just stay a desire. Then what I have to do? I got to decide. That word decide means to make a choice from a number of alternatives. If we go back to the Latin word, right? The Latin word, it literally means to offcut, to cut off. To cut off all other options, to cut off all other alternatives, to cut off all other opinions and all other ways. So when I make a decision, it's not just saying, ooh, that would be cool. Ooh, I got a desire. Ooh, I mean, I would like to have that. I would like to be that. No, it's saying, no, now I'm making a decision. I'm going to become that, and I'm cutting off everything else. There is no other path for me. This is the path for me. There is no other way for me. This is the way for me. There is no other person for me. This is the thing for me. I'm cutting off all, I'm making a decision. And then after I make the decision, what do I got to do? I have to design.
That's right.
What is this life going to look like? That's to plan or fashion artistically and skillfully. I got to begin to put a plan together. I got to begin to form that plan, to fashion that plan so that I can now live this life that I have decided to live. But now we get into the develop stage, and develop is bring a more advanced or effective state. Because here's what I can tell you, what you design is not always going to work.
Come on, say that.
Let me tell you how I know that, because I was a football coach for a number of years.
Yeah.
And I spent all week creating a game plan for what I thought was going to happen on the field on Friday. And so whenever I showed up to the game and I thought the opponent was going to be playing a certain defense, I thought the opponent was going to be going with this approach, I thought that was what was going to happen, and I showed up with my design, I showed up with my plan that we've been working on, and all of a sudden I realized, whoo, this ain't what I thought.
Nope.
They're not playing like I thought they were going to play. I thought they were going to be playing man coverage, but they're showing up in quarters, right? I'm like, oh my God, I got it. Everybody's like, what? What did you just say? Okay, I'm just telling you, I got to have it. So what do I have to do? I have to develop. I have to bring about a more advanced or effective state, because if I don't make a change to the plan, how do you know? We lose. So I gotta make a change in the design. And this is where so many people get lost, is because they create a design. I have a desire, I make a decision, I wanna follow God, and then I make a design, and I make my plan, and this is what I'm gonna do, and this is the devotion I'm gonna read, and this is what how I'm gonna be, and this is what I'm gonna sign up for, and I get my design, and then all of a sudden this thing called life happens. And I'm like, oh, well, that design doesn't work. No, the design has just got to be developed.
Come on, say that, baby.
The design has just got to be tweaked.
Yep.
Because I wasn't expecting this to happen this year. I wasn't expecting this season to be what it is. Okay, well, that's fine. Now I've got to do what? I've got to develop in the midst of this. And that's the only way I get to the last one, and that is to be able to deliver.
Yeah.
See, I will never be able to deliver if I don't understand the stage of development. Things have got to begin to change so that I can deliver what I want to do. Because at the end of a football game, what do I want to deliver? I want to deliver a win.
Yeah.
I want to deliver a victory. I want to deliver. Well, there's things in your life that you're wanting to deliver. But the only way you can deliver is if you develop along the journey. And this is discipleship. Now, the amazing thing about it is this is also building a business. This is also building a great marriage. This is also how to be healthy in relationships. This is also how to get healthy in the gym. This is also about how nutrition. This is about anything and everything. But this starts with, this is how I become a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
This is what discipleship looks like. This is what our process to progress is. Now, then we would ask ourselves, okay, this process to progress, what am I progressing to? All right, I am progressing and I'm moving towards what Jesus said was possible. What Jesus said was possible is freedom and peace and joy and wholeness and love and strength. These are the things that Jesus said was possible. And Jesus actually didn't stop there. He actually said that the impossible was possible. So I am progressing into more and more freedom in my life. I am progressing into greater levels of strength and courage. I am progressing into greater levels of joy and greater levels of peace. I am moving into more because with God, there is always more. It doesn't matter how much I had last week or how good it was a year ago. With God, there is always more. And I am progressing into the more that God has for me. And God didn't stop with all of those amazing things. He said, even the impossible is possible. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, right? Jesus looked at them and said, for people this is impossible, but for God all things are possible. For people this is impossible. It appears impossible. It is impossible. But with God all things are possible. So here is what we have. We have this amazing opportunity to partner with God, to be strong, to live at full strength, and to deliver his possible into the world. We have an opportunity to deliver his possible into the world. There's a great story in the Bible in Mark chapter 9 of a demon-possessed, a boy that's demon-possessed, and his dad brings him to Jesus, and he tells him the story. He says, my son will throw himself in the water. He'll throw himself in the fire. He has these fits of rage. He's like, you know, Jesus, if you can do anything, please help me, right? And Jesus' response in Mark chapter 9, verse 23 is this: what do you mean if I can? Anything, say anything.
Anything
is possible if a person believes. Jesus says, if I can, it might feel impossible to you, but I need you to know that what you feel like is impossible is possible with God. No matter what you think is impossible and can't happen, anything is possible with God. So what do you mean if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes. So now let's walk it all the way back to our main scripture where the Apostle Paul wrote there to the church at Ephesus, and he said this. He said, be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Be prepared. Be prepared. That word prepare, it means to put oneself in readiness. To get ready, to prepare, that you would put yourself in readiness. I mean, you are in ready mode, right? It is to prepare yourself for what is to come. This is what he says. He says, you've got to be prepared. And if we're going to do that, if we're going to be prepared, if we're going to put ourselves in readiness, there's two things we got to do. Number one is that we have to access God's supernatural power. I want to remind you what I started this whole series with, is that full strength doesn't start with your strength. And to all of that, everybody should say amen, right? Full strength doesn't start with your strength. Full strength starts with God's strength and the fact that God put his spirit on the inside of you. So the first thing that we have to do is understand that we have access to a supernatural strength. We need to access God's supernatural strength. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing that we do. We have to activate our supernatural weapons. So after you access supernatural strength that comes from God, now you have to activate the supernatural weapons that God has given you to live this life with. This is what it looks like if we're going to go through this process to progress. Now, there's one thing that we talk about a lot here, and we talk about being on a journey, right? On a journey with Christ and a journey with Jesus and following God, because we really believe that's what life is, that life is this journey of learning how to love. It's this journey of learning how to serve. It's this journey of learning how to forgive. It's this journey of learning how to live like Jesus and be who God has called us to be. It's a journey. But how many understand, in every journey, you need a map. Right, you're going to go on a journey, you are going to need a map. So here's what I want to give you today in the remaining time that we have. I want to give you a map towards possible. I want to give you a map towards possible. And there's three things. One, there's the possibility mentality. Next, there's the possibility activity. And then third, there's the possibility priority, right? And I even highlighted it for you so that you could tell, okay, it's an acrostic. I didn't want to get to the end and then be like, it was an acrostic. Have you go, oh my God, why did I not see that? So I'm going to show it to you right up front today, okay? This is the map towards possible. This is how you get to what is possible, a possibility mentality, a possibility activity, and a possibility priority. All right, let's talk about this first. Let's start with the possibility mentality. There's one thing that I have certainly learned from coaching, and that is this, is that if you don't think you can win, you won't. If you don't think you can win, you won't. But sometimes we have worked so hard, and we have tried so long, and we have struggled so much that we just feel like there is no way forward. I have worked so hard at this. I have struggled so long with this. I have prayed so many prayers over this. I have tried over and over and over again. And honestly, it just feels like there's no way that can happen. There is just no way to move forward in this situation. I love what Thomas Edison said. He says, when you have exhausted all possibilities, remember this, you haven't. When you feel like you've exhausted all possibilities, you have to remember you have it. Listen to me today. You really can break free from addiction. You really can change your habits. You really can forgive that person. You really can improve your marriage. You really can overcome your greed and your pride. You really can live and lead from a place of strength and wholeness. You really can. Just because you haven't yet doesn't mean that it's not possible. And maybe just because you haven't yet, but you're still alive, you can find confidence in this. As long as you aren't dead, God's not done. God's still working some things in us. But we have to believe and think in the realm of possibility. I want to bring us to a story in John chapter 5. I'll start in verse 1. It says this, afterwards, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on these porches. One of the men lying there had been there for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up." Because what they believed is when the water began to bubble, the first person that touched the water when it began to bubble would be healed and would receive their miracle. And so he says, "I don't have anyone to put me in the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up. Pick up your mat and walk." See, over time, and we could even say for good reason, this man had developed a problem mentality. He had developed a problem mentality. Maybe we could even call it a poverty mentality. There was a mentality of lack. There was a mentality of limitation. There was a mentality that was being defined by his current situation. And we see that when Jesus walks up to the man and asks him a very simple question. Do you want to get well? Do you have a desire to get well? And the man says, I can't. I can't. I have no one to help me. And not only do I have no one to help me, everybody else is always ahead of me. Everybody else is always winning. Everyone else is always getting there first. You see, in life, listen, in life, we train ourselves to either live with a problem mentality or a possible mentality. And I want you to know, we are training ourselves. You can train yourself to have a possible mentality instead of a problem mentality. And the problem mentality, let's just like cut to the chase. The problem mentality comes natural for most of us, right? It comes natural for most of us. And the problem mentality is what surrounds us in society, and it might even be what formed us in our home that we grew up in. It's a problem mentality. I see the problem. Why do we see the problem? We see problems because seeing problems is easier than envisioning possibilities. So it's way easier for me to see the problem. It's way easier for me to see the lack. It's way easier for me to see the limitation because that's what I'm living in. I'm living in the lack. I'm living in the limitation. I'm living in my problem. So I can see the problem. It is easier for me to see that than it is for me to envision possibility. And so we are training ourselves through life to have one or other of these mentalities. Yeah. I'll have a poverty mentality or a problem mentality, or I will have a possible mentality. But living with a limited mentality, listen, it does not result in the abundant life. No. And it does not result in you living with full strength. So just understand, if you choose to have nobody will help me, poverty or a problem mentality, then you will not be able to live at the level of strength that you could live at. Because living at that level of strength, it starts with a possibility mentality. A mentality that says all things are possible. All things are possible. But it doesn't stop there with a possibility mentality. The map continues on, and then it leads us into this possibility activity. Because this is what the scripture says in the very next verse in John 5. It says, instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. Instantly he was healed. He rolled up his mat and began walking. How many understand? If that was going to take place, he had to already be standing. If he rolled up his mat and started walking, then he was standing up in his miracle. But listen, this is what I want you to see in this story, is that the right mentality, it must be followed by the right activity. Possibility demands action. I don't want to just believe what's possible. I want to build what's possible. I don't want to just believe that all things are possible. I don't want to have a all things are possible theology. I want to have an all things are possible practicality. I don't want to just believe it's possible. I want to build what God said is possible. I want to build it for me and for my family. I want to build it for my community. I don't want to just believe it. I want to build it. Now, can you imagine with me for a moment that this guy just kept laying there? Jesus says, stand up, take up your mat and walk. And he's like, no thanks. I mean, can you just see him right now? He's like, no thanks. I mean, I got a good spot over here in the corner. You know, he's like, I got a great spot. Hey, Jesus, thank you. But this spot, this is like the VIP section over here. And if I get up, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to get back down. Yeah. You know, no thanks. And Jesus, I mean, I hear what you're saying. Get up and walk. I mean, I've got some questions about being able to stand up. I've been 38 years in this condition, but I'm certainly not going to have the stamina that I need. I'm not going to be able to do that. So why don't you just go find somebody else? I mean, can you imagine for a moment if this guy would have just said, no, I'm not going to do what you say. Wow. Oh. I'm not going to try to stand up. right? But here's the thing. You can be laying down with the mentality going, "Whoo, God, all things are possible. I believe it, I believe it, I believe it." And God says, "Okay, I want you to get up." And you're like, "Ah, no, I'm good. I'm an introvert." You know, I just I got a good spot over here, Jesus. You know, don't meddle with my I've got my mat over here. It's all nice and laid out. Like, I'm good. You find somebody else to do that. No, listen to me. You can't just have a possibility mentality or a possibility theology. You got to have some possibility activity. If you want to live the miraculous, abundant life, you got to have some activity. You got to have some action, because that's what possibility demands. You always must start moving towards possibility. But I do want to let you know that within every possibility lies uncertainty. And it's the uncertainty that keeps us from moving into the possibility.
Oh, come on,
babe. I mean, there is no way. This guy, number one, this guy didn't even know it was Jesus. If you read the story, imagine you'll figure out this guy didn't know. So it wasn't like Jesus showed up and he's like, "Oh, I've heard of all of your miracles, and I know you are the miracle man. You just say the word and I'll stand up on my feet and do the karate kid kick. I mean, you just say the word, Lord." He doesn't even know who this man is. He has no idea. Within every possibility lies uncertainty. And it's the uncertainty that keeps us down, because I don't know what this is going to look like. Jesus, I ain't trying to stand up and make a fool out of myself. I'm not trying to stand up and be all, I don't know what this is going to look like. I mean, what if I just take 10 steps and then it don't work like I thought it was going to work, and I just move myself to the other side of the pool? I don't know how this is really going to go. And it's in the uncertainty that robs us of the possibility activity that we need to move forward. Because the thing with possible, right? The thing with possible, the definition for the word possible is able to happen, not guaranteed to happen. We would have no problem getting up if there was a guarantee. We would have no problem with possibility if it was guaranteed. The problem we have with possibility is that it is able to happen, but is not guaranteed to happen. 38 years he had been in this condition. Now, I think we would agree, after 38 years, it was probable that his situation would stay the same. But it was possible that his situation could change. It was probable after 38 years of waking up in one condition and going to bed in the exact same condition, I think we would all agree it was probable that he would have woken up that morning and he would have gone to bed that night in the exact same condition that he had had for 38 years. That was probable. That was likely to happen. But how many of you know something else was possible? Something else was able to happen, because the miracle man, Jesus, made his way past him that day, and because Jesus showed up, all things became possible. See, I don't know how long you've been in your situation, but here's what I know you need in your situation. You need a mentality that it can change. And you need a mentality that it can change with mixed with some activity that will actually change it.
Come on, so good.
You need a mentality that it can change, but you need some activity that it will change. Begin your morning with prayer. Go to counseling, hire a coach, read a book, sign up for an online course. Apologize to your spouse, and then apologize to your spouse again. Take a walk around your block. Do some push-ups or some sit-ups. Throw all the junk food out of your pantry. I don't know where you need to get healthy at in your life, but if you want to live at full strength, we got to get healthy in every single area of our life. And here's what I can tell you. Full strength demands possibility activity.
Oh, come on. So good.
I can't just have a belief and a mentality that says, "Ooh, yeah, I believe all things are possible." I got to put some action behind it so that I can begin to see the possible. I can begin to see the miracle. I can begin to see these things happening in my life. And so you have a possibility mentality. You have some possibility activity. But then if you're going to stay on the map long term, you got to have some possibility priority. You got to have possibility priority. This is the encounter that Jesus has with the man in a few verses later in verse 14. Because they've come to the man and they've asked him, who healed you? And he says, I don't know. Right? They're upset with him, right? Because he's carrying his mat. Because Jesus healed him on the Sabbath. Which you obviously, you know, weren't supposed to do something good for somebody on the Sabbath who's been in a condition for 38 years. They were upset about that. That's how you know people are really messed up. And so, you know, he's carrying this mat and they're like, whoa. Why are you carrying your mat like that on the Sabbath? You know that's against the rules. And he's like, well, I've been in this condition for 38 years and the man that just actually healed me, he told me to do it. So I'm just going to do what he says, right? I mean, it's making sense right now. And they said, who healed you? And he says, I don't know. I don't know. He just said, get up. And I started walking and I didn't really think to turn around, sir. You know? And Jesus goes and he finds this man. He says, Jesus found him in the temple and he told him, Now you are well. You woke up today thinking that it wasn't probable, but it was possible. And now you are well. Now that thing that you thought would never change, now it's changed. Now that opportunity that you thought was never going to come is here. Now that relationship that you never thought would be mended and restored, now it has been mended and restored. Now you are well, he says, so stop sinning. I mean, tell us how you really feel, Jesus, right? Let me just go ahead, cut to the chase. So stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you. What Jesus saying? Jesus say, hey, because now you're well, don't go back to who you used to be. Now that you're well, don't go back to where you used to be. Don't go back to that place. Don't go back to that poverty mentality. Don't go back to that problem mentality. Don't go back to that excuse making. Don't go back there. So I would tell you today that if you make possibility your priority, then your proximity to certain people matters more. If you make possibility your priority, then your proximity to certain people is going to matter more. Jesus saying, hey, don't go back to that pool, man. Don't go back hanging around those folks that I can't, that it'll never work. Don't go back and get around those people again. You got to find a different group of people. Why? Because when possibility becomes your priority, your proximity to people matter. Reid Hoffman said this. He said, the fastest way to change yourself is to hang out with people who are already the way you want to be. The fastest way is to get around people who are already who you want to be. This is why we've got to get close to Jesus. Why? Because he's the one that we're trying to become. He's the one that we're trying to emulate. And we don't just get close to Jesus. We got to get close to people who are following Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And there are people who are a little bit further along you on the journey of following Jesus. And so while we're following Jesus, we also have to get behind some people who are following, who are becoming who we want to be. You see, I need people who have overcome in life, not just people who are being overwhelmed by life. I need some people who are speaking the language of victory and not just speaking the language of their misery. I need people who are talking about we can and not we can't. I need people who are giving me their courage, not people who are just taking all of mine. I need people who can equip me with strength, not just strip me of my strength. I need to be in proximity to the right people. Why? Because now possibility has become my priority. And when possibility becomes your priority, you got to get beside possibility people. You got to get beside possibility people. You got to find some people that have a possibility mentality and some possibility activity. I mean, listen, I care what you believe, but I also want to see how you live. I I'm glad you've got some good theology, but I'm really interested in some of your practicality as well. I want to see your activity. Because if possibility is my priority, then I got to make sure I'm getting around the right people. I got to get some possibility people. Listen, there's some ways that you can do that right here, right now. Right now, you can join a group. We just launched our group season last week. That we got groups all out there in the lobby. You can see all the groups. Shoot the QR code and you know, figure out what group is going to be best for you. Just try some out. We have over 30 groups happening right now. So we've got a place for everybody. We got a place for everybody in our groups. Maybe you want to join a serve team. You want to get with some possibility people. People who are believing that God can use them to advance his kingdom, that God can use them to be a blessing. Hey, just say, you know what? I want to sign up to serve because I want to link arms with people who are believing that God can do something in them and through them that would affect change in this community. Sign me up, man. Sign me up. Have you ever been on a team before? No, but sign me up. Well, because I got to get around possibility people. I need to change my proximity. I got to change my proximity. You see, why do you have to get around possibility people? Because there's a mission that God's going to send you out there into the world, and God's going to send you into some dark places. He's going to send you into some difficult things. Why? Because we're not just over here huddled up, you know, just our four and no more, and our little hiding over here from the world, and our little church building over here. And no. We are people that believe we were made for Monday, right? We've been transformed for our Tuesday because we're going out into the world to be the salt and the light. We are going into our world to share the good news of Jesus Christ. But when I go, I've got to make sure that I'm going at full strength. When I go, I got to make sure I'm going with courage. When I go, I got to make sure I'm going with the language of victory. Whenever I go, I got to make sure I'm going with the right things because I got in proximity with the right people because it became my priority. That's too important over there. My mission is too important. The lost are too valuable. The hurting, the lonely, the depressed, the people out there in the world that need me, that God is going to lead me to this week, it's too important for me to go out there limping and barely making it. And I know I gotta go in full strength. I can't just hobble over there with the language of misery and they start complaining and I start joining in. Well, you think that's bad? Let me tell you what happened to me this week. I got to go into the darkness at full strength. I got to go into the darkness with a possibility mentality that anything could happen today. God could use me to pray for my coworker and they could be healed today. A possibility mentality. That God could use me today to encourage somebody who's discouraged. That God could use me today to give the piece of wisdom and the piece of advice that changes everything for somebody in their moment of trouble. A possibility mentality mixed with the possibility activity that I'm not just going to sit over here at my desk and say, well, God, anything is possible. God, I know it. I believe it, God. Anything is possible. No. I'm putting activity to it. I'm putting action behind it. And if we're going to go in full strength, we got to make sure we're around the right people. So whenever I get out there into my mission, I'm showing up strong. God is strong, and he wants you strong. And this is what it looks like for you to live at full strength. But hear me, this is what it looks like for us to live at full strength. Because if we are going to be at full strength, we got to have you. If we're going to be at full strength, we got to have you bringing your strength. We got to have you bringing your wisdom. We got to have you bringing your gifts. We got to have you bringing your talents. If we are going to be as strong as we can be, then we need every me bringing the best that they can be. This is what it looks like to fill up our groups. Do you know what our groups need? Our groups need your story. You know what our groups need? Our groups need your perspective. You know what our groups need? Our groups need your prayer. This is what our groups need. You know what our teams need here at North Point? They need you. They need you because that's how we get strong. But it's not just how we get strong. Guess what? It's how you get strong too. Because you get in proximity with the right people that fill you up with what you need so you can move into your darkness. You can move into your Monday. You can move into what God has for you. And when you show up at full strength. This is what it looks like for you to live at full strength. This is what it looks like for us as a community to live at full strength as well. I want you to stand with me today. We're going to throw the lead acrostic up there for you today. Look, it just gives you the map to possibility. Listen, 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 listen. Possibility is possible for you. Possibility is possible. Whatever you think is impossible is possible. There's a map to possibility. Starts with our mentality. It's going to require some activity. And listen, you got to make it a priority. You got to make it a priority. It's got to be a priority in your life. Our evaluation is this: are you living in the strength of possibility? Are you living in the full strength of possibility with that mentality, with that activity, with that priority, living in proximity to the right people? Our application, real simple this week. Maybe you're a little off in your mentality, maybe you're a little off in your activity or priority. Change your mindset. Check your proximity. If everybody in your life is wanting something from you more than they're wanting something for you, you're in the wrong circles. You got to have some people that are wanting some stuff for you. You got to have some people that are filling you up, cheering you on. You got to have some people that they are so for you, what God has called you to. They're not just taking, they're not just wanting something from you. They're really wanting something for you. So check your proximity to people. Make sure you're around the people that are going to allow you to live at full strength. And then just take action. Just take action. I don't know what that's going to look like for you this week, but just take action. Do something to start moving into that direction. Maybe that is to go out there and look for groups. Maybe that is to talk with somebody about joining a team. I don't know what that looks like even in your context of your workplace. I don't know, but just take action. And then the D's always the same. Just do it again and again and again. And this is the process to progress. This is what it looks like to become a disciple of Jesus. Because listen to me, disciples of Jesus live in full strength. Because God is strong. And he wants you to be strong. So whenever I become like God and I begin to mold my life in the image of Christ, I want to live in that kind of strength. I want you to bow your heads with me today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Jesus, thank you that you are the one that makes all things possible. Even the things that we say, well, that's impossible. That would never change. That would never happen. That would never be. God, you are the one that makes all things possible. So let us take this map to possible. Let us live this week with a possibility mentality. How many of you would just say right now, say, Philip, I need help with that possibility mentality. I see all the problems. I'm very practical, right? That's what people say when they're pessimistic. I'm real practical, right? Okay, I can see all the practicalities, right? I just see all the things, right? It's just that's me. I can see the problems, but here's what you've allowed the problems to rob you of your possibility. Listen to me, with your head bowed and eyes closed, I'm not talking about denying the problems. I'm not talking about, oh no, everything is great, I have no problems. No. No, the problems still exist. I've been in this condition for 38 years. I can see the problem, but I also see a possibility. How many of you say today, right there where you are, look, I'm not gonna have you step on an aisle or come down front or anything like that, but just right there where you are, you say, Philip, I need some help. I need to work on my possibility mentality. Come on, if that's you, just lift up your hands. Just a sign to yourself and God to say, God, I need to work on that this week, my possibility mentality. Come on, you can put your hands down. How many of you would say, I got the right mentality? Man, I got the right theology, right? But I need some activity. I got to take action, man. I got to take action on what I believe. I got to take action on what I know. I got to take action. I got to begin to move if I'm going to see that miracle, if I'm going to see what's actually possible. And you say, Philip, that's me. I got to take action this week. I got to start moving. I got to start moving towards possible. Come on, if that's you, just lift up your hand. I got to start moving. It's not just a mindset with me. I got to move. I got to move. I got to move. I got to move. You put your hands down. And then how many of you say, I got to make it a priority. I got to make possibility a priority. And I make it my priority by making sure I'm in proximity to the people who will help me get to my possible. That will push me towards the abundant life. That will push me and encourage me. Give me godly counsel and wisdom and mentorship towards what is actually possible in my life. Say, I've got to make possibility a priority by my proximity to the right people. You say, I know I need to work on that right now. Come on, just lift up your hand. I got to get some new people in my life. Somehow, some way, I got to get some people that are around me talking about we can and not we can't, that are giving me courage, not just stealing my courage and robbing me of courage. You can put your hands down. Come on, today, everybody in the room, would you just repeat this simple prayer after me? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I need you. I need your love and your grace. I need your power and forgiveness. I believe you are who you say you are, and you can do what you say you can do. I am ready to journey towards possible. I want a possibility mentality. I want possibility activity. And I want to make possibility my priority. I want to get around the right people who will encourage me on my journey so that I can be what you created me to be and that I might do what you called me to. Father, as we continue to journey with you individually and as a community, God, may we always have this map before us. May we never get stuck in the pain or the problems of yesterday. May we never let what's probable be greater than what is possible. God, may we follow this map in every season, through every valley, on every mountaintop, through the good days and the bad days. May this map guide us into the life you created us for. Help us, Holy Spirit, on this journey. Give us the supernatural strength that we need, and show us how to activate the supernatural weapons that God has given each and every one of us for your kingdom and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.